Praise God. For some reason, I had forgotten about this. I'm so sorry. There's a video I wanted y'all to see. Yesterday, for some reason, I was just sitting at home, and I'm trying to train myself, like literally every day, read the Bible, pray, learn something about Brother Branham or one of his sermons, because somebody like me, we grew up in the message, but we didn't know what was going on. Or I remember the first time I found out about Adam and Eve, my older sister is the one who was like, we were in Kenya. She's like, oh, they, you know, they didn't really eat an apple. And I'm like, okay. So for me, I'm having to play catch up on some things. But as a young person, I always tell people, I want to be an example, but not a bad example, because I'm not perfect. But at the same time, I know what it is to have children and raise them in this world. So I started watching this YouTube video while I was in my room. And I wish I can play the video maybe next time. But somehow, Brother Branham just blurted out. He was praying. And he said, and there's a sister laying down who has issues with the surgery didn't go well, something about the doctors, they're not really good at what they do. And I'm just sitting there froze, and I had to keep replaying it just to make sure I'm hearing the right thing. And he didn't stop there. He kept going and saying she's very frustrated and she has mental issues or something like that because of the military. I'm like, what? I didn't know how to explain that. I don't know what it is. So I sent the video to my mom and my family and stuff like that. And they were like, yeah, so my older sister told me he's healed people like that before. I didn't know. But I've just never done anything like that, like on a, you know, Saturday evening, like I'm watching. So to me, he spoke to me somehow. I don't know how, because I'm the kind of person I want to see, I guess maybe because of being in the military, I want to see like right there, you know. And if I'm going to do something, I'm not going to do it halfway. I don't know how to do two things at the same time. It has to be one way. So for a very long time, I've always said, if I was to ever die before, let's hope now God will somehow consider me. But I always used to tell my family, look, I already know where I'm going if I died right now, because I'm doing the opposite of what that man said. And even if I was to die and go to hell, I will tell him the same thing. There's nobody else here. So, because the devil is really bad, and I used to have really bad nightmares. Like, he would come to my room and I would see this man right there. You know, so he's tormented me so much to the point where somehow it worked to my favor, because it got to a point where when he would come to my room, I just kick him off the bed. And I'm like, why are you waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, like that's how it got. But most people think like the devil is just, oh, he's a tail. No, he's literally a normal human being. Very good looking and everything. So I have seen and experienced all that. So going through all that gave me the assurance that, Mary, you've gone through all this and you still want to live in the, you know what the truth is. It's people like you who are going to, and I was okay with it. So once I started saying that, he stopped coming. But guess what? He's back now. Like, now that I'm trying to do everything right, I can literally feel him, to the point where some of my caregivers tell me, I'm seeing something moving around. I don't know what it is. I'm like, just pray. I don't know how else to help you. Because for me, he won't come at me during the day. He's a coward. He'll only do it when I'm sleeping. You know, because he knows my mind is not there or something like that. So, but I'm not scared of that puppet. But other than that, that's what I wanted to say. Thank y'all.
Amen. Amen. We got a few requests. Remember the one from this morning? A lot of people are traveling. We mentioned this morning, just remember them. Brother Boyd also asking for Sister Audrey Thomas and Sister Janet, also remember those two. Sister Charlotte gave me one. Says, please pray for Sister Gail. She's having trouble with her blood pressure. So remember Sister Gail. Still remember me and all the other ones that are going through that situation. And Sister Milka gave me one. Says, please remember a family of a friend of Michael's who has a construction business. So remember that situation there. To remember whatever the need is, whatever the thought is, let it be known to them, and they'll, whatever it is, the good Lord will take care of it. So just remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Remember also, before we go, this afternoon at the shower, it is a ladies only. So if the guys are still here, you need to stay out and let the ladies go to the shower is what I've been told. So just remember that and keep the kids outside if you have kids. So just remember that as we pray. Like I said, I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that we have mentioned here or know of many people from this church, Lord, that will be traveling. Lord, come down and bless them. Be with them. Keep them safe on the highways. Remember our request that we have mentioned here. Lord, come down and bless them. Lord, you know all the needs and all the situations, Lord. Just be with them and guide them. Be with Wade. Give him strength, Lord, and give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Sister Regina.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to share with you guys what Wade was preaching on this morning about the pawn shop. Share with you my pawn shop testimony and my journey. Y'all know that from you can pick up bits and pieces from my life, I was straight up Laodicea. This particular time, straight up Laodicea. Good job. I lived right across the street from the job. I was able to walk there. And that was the one that, it was called the Institute of Living in Hartford, Connecticut. Little history on that place. It used to be called the Hartford Retreat, where all the movie stars would go to dry out. But when I got there, it was only two that I knew of. Sammy Davis Jr. had someone there, and Phil Donahue. I worked as the director of social activities. That's the rehabilitation department. And we would have meetings every morning. And after we took care of matters at hand during coffee and donut time, all of a sudden I just blurted out, I'm moving to Atlanta. Now, y'all know, prior to that, I didn't know the Lord. My mother honored the Lord by Sunday, Sabbath. We couldn't do anything. That's all I knew. I didn't pray. I didn't pay no tithes nowhere. I wasn't going to church. I would go to a Baptist church to please my grandmother, just to make a smile on her face. But that's all I knew. And then I blurt that out at the meeting. And then within a few months, I was down here. And I even said, I don't know where it came from. I said, okay, Lord, now that I'm here, what you going to do with me? And a few months later, I was working. Oh, I was also modeling at that time. So I figured waitressing will keep my figure, right? So I was working at a Mexican restaurant as a waitress. And Brother Andre Head and Brother Hollis Brown came in one day. See how the Lord works? Man, that was awesome because that was my introduction to the Lord. Certainly, Brother Hollis was trying to rap to get a date, and we did date. He gave me my first Bible. That was in 1987, and I still have that Bible. And then he invited me to his church, which was Murrayville over there, and it was Brother Tatum. Brother Tatum was there, and Brother Harris came to preach. And they invited me to their church, and I've been here ever since. And I couldn't refuse Nanny and Poppy. Anyway, what else did I want to say about that? But that was he came and got me out of the pawn shop, y'all. I had need of nothing, you hear me? I had money. I traveled. I did what I wanted to do, what I thought I was supposed to do. And then he came and got me. And I'll be very honest with y'all. For years, I've sat up in here. And I brought myself back to the pawn shop many times. But he still came and got me. But now I know who I am. Amen. Ain't no going back.
Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Brother John, if you would help me take up tithes and offerings.
Let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to gather once more. We thank you for the testimony, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word that's going to come, Lord. We pray you just bless the rest of the service. Use our brother, Lord, as a vessel, Lord, give him strength.
Amen.
Lord God, may you just form that gift. That's the title of the offer.
Yes, Lord.
And use for your honor, Lord. In Christ's name.
Amen. Speaking of the pawn shop, we'll sing Anchored in Jesus. GFC. Upon life's boundless ocean where mighty billows roll, I fix my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me and storms are gathering on, I rest upon his mercy and trust him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice had stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to him I all confide. For always when I need him, he's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I've known. Anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior, in him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the blast. My faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life. Let's stand. I've anchored in Jesus, wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for he hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who stills the raging sea? He heals the sick, the lame, the halt, and makes the blind to see. He opens all the prison doors and sets the captives free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, my Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who healed the lame and halt, who said, thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. He stands as the mighty healer now in Christ, come unto me. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye towards Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. Oh, I am bound
one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters night away. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are feared and felt no more. Oh, I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound, one more time, this land. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. Amen. Sister Lily has a song for us, so you can all be seated.
Best of me is barely breathing. When I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light, the night is stolen. When I'm slamming you've opened, hold on to me, hold on to me, hold on to me. When it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end, hold on to me. When I'm tired of all of my pretending, hold on to me. When I start to break in desperation, underneath the weight of expectation, hold on to me. Hold on to me, hold on to me. When it's too dark to see you, when I am sure I have reached the end, hold on to me. When I forget I need you,
242 as our brother gets ready to minister to us. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to
Agape love him. We love him with all of our heart, a love that's beyond understanding, a love that just you can't with one word, two words, 10,000 words, you cannot tell God how much you love him. But you know what? Let's try. Let's try to tell him how much we love him. Let's try. In our own frail way, let's try to say, God, I love you. You know what? Like I said before, if he ever loved you from the beginning, he'll never not love you. He'll love you whether you good, bad, or indifferent. He loves you because you're his child. Don't you love your children the same way? If we can filial love our own children to where we'd do anything for them, we'd give our life for our natural children. Well, you know what? Our daddy gave his life for us. He physically gave his life for us. But he was able to come back and come inside of us and live. And now, what are we? We're the children of God, the people of God. Nobody else on the earth can say they're the children of God, only us. We're not the people of God. We're the children of God. And we're the bride of the Lord Jesus. So let's keep these things in mind. Let's hold our head high. Let's not hold our head down. Let's hold our head high that we are the bride of Jesus Christ. He's going to have somebody that's going to be a bride. He's going to dress her. She's going to put on all the right stuff, all the right clothing. She's going to put on faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And then he's going to come back and get that person. That's who he's coming back to get. He's not coming back to get you. He's coming to get back himself inside of you. Amen? We're just going to be, as we're going to speak on today, we've talked about the word vulcanization. Oh, you ought to see what that means. We talk about vulcanize, and we give the crude analysis of patches and all that. Let's see what the dictionary says about vulcanization. Son of Man, Part 90. I know we all have needs. We got people coming back home from preaching and different things. We appreciate them going and being able to help these other churches. Like I said before, pray for Brother Samuel Reyes that they'll find a place. Brother J.T. Pageant, that they'll find a place to worship. They're an older group. We may try to go help them. If we do, I'd like for some of y'all to do the same thing. I know they hadn't said anything about it, but I'd just like for us to be ready just in case they needed us to help out. So remember, Brother Bob will be speaking this Wednesday night, and Brother Tim Cross will be here next Sunday. Two services, just the same, 9:45 and 2, because June and I are leaving Friday. excuse me, Karina Morales is getting married Saturday night, so just remember that family. Also remember March the 4th, we'll have a prayer meeting here at 7 o'clock. That'll be on Saturday, first Saturday, like we would have Bible study. We're going to have prayer service, all right? And then remember the April meeting coming up. We'll announce that a little bit later. Brother Dutch Scott and Brother Chris Long will be with us for that. So just keep these things in your prayer. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Your Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we're living in. Lord, it's the darkest hour that man has ever known. There's earthquakes killing thousands of people. There's floods killing thousands of people. There's drought killing thousands of people. This whole world is in a turmoil. All nature is against what's coming up. But Lord, today, Father, change our nature. Lord, let it be as the earth is being renewed, that today we'll be renewed in you. Father, I pray that this word will change us, that it'll make us different, that it'll make us more like you, as we're going to talk about it. It vulcanize us with you and make us better. Father, we pray that you'd be with the ones that are sick, that are not with us today. Brother Dutch, Lord, feeling very weak, and I pray that you'd be with him, Lord. Brother J.T. Pageant, also, things going on in his body, Lord, I pray that you would touch him, Lord. Touch each one of us here, Lord, that has a need. Father, bless, Lord, the ones in the foreign fields. Lord, we think about them often, the ones that we've met that are fighting a battle up in the mountains of the Philippines and Jamaica and different places, Lord, India. Lord, I pray you be with them. I pray that you would touch us now during this service. You have the preeminent. You be the preeminent one. And that you'll be made known to the people. That's what we want more than anything. We want you to be made known in the people, not in one person. Not to look to one man because man will fail. But look to you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, be with us during this service, Father. You take complete control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. That's what he wanted to do. He had to be flesh to be your kinsman redeemer. As we were talking about this morning in the pawn shop. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And excuse me if I continue reading on. Some of you want to read in your Bible. I'll hesitate a moment. I think we're kind of lazy, loud of sins. We just read what's on the screen. So, and I do the same thing. And besides this, besides what? Besides all that we talked about this morning, besides all that pawn shop where we come in and come out in and redemption and paying the ransom and doing the right thing and getting the new birth, besides that, you're out of the pawn shop. Now what are you going to do? You're going to just lay there? Nope. And besides this, giving all diligence. Wow. Diligence. Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. We'll get to that today. To temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. Luke 21, verse 19 says, In your patience, possess ye your very soul. In your patience, possess ye your very soul. You may be seated. Lord, add his blessing. That's the problem we have in the end time. We are not patient people. People will absolutely run you off the road just to get be the next person in line to stop at the traffic light. I love traffic lights. It's the great equalizer. Or stop signs. Right? Somebody fly by you and they'll pass you and half a mile down the road, they're sitting in front of a red light and you just pull right up behind them and you wasted gas, buddy. But patience. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Wow. That's pretty tough. But let's talk about knowledge and temperance first before we get to patience. Because there's a lot of temperance going on when somebody passes you and you don't like it, right? You give them the old left or right hand of fellowship. Yeah. So let's go back to the chart. Excuse me, I got a little tickle in my throat. I might have been hollering too much this morning. Also, I was hollering too much this morning. You said amen. Okay. Sometimes you have to be careful what you amen. You say, oh, me? Can somebody say, oh, me? Oh, me. Okay. But we were in that pawn shop. Listen, by our birth, by our first birth, we got put in that pawn shop. We were not supposed to be born that way. But we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. A spouse from our mother's womb, a liar, doomed and on our way to hell. Our soul is what's going to go to hell. Your body's not going to hell per se. Your body's going to follow. But Jesus told him, he said, don't worry about the guy that can kill your body. Don't worry about the guy, in other words, that can cut your head off. He said, you better worry about the one that can kill your soul. There's only one person that can kill a soul. And that's the Lord Jesus, our God Almighty. He's the only one that can kill a soul. He made it so he can kill it. All right, you and I can't do away with one. We can, Satan can do what he wants to. He can take us out of this dimension, fleshly, but we step right over into another dimension. And there we are just as eternal as God is, in another dimension. Hidden away from Satan, Satan can't find us. I don't think Satan even knows where that sixth dimension is. God holds that for the people that are passed on, Lord, so that they can be what? Happy. And so that they can say, hey, I made it. But remember, they're not complete, though. They got to come back here and get their human body. They know they're not humans. You were a human here, you're going to be a human there. All right? Supernatural human, but you're going to be a human. So your soul is what the whole deal is. So if you want the Lord Jesus to save your soul, then there's where that the pawn shop you got put in. You got to believe that somebody went to that pawn shop, paid the price, took you out, and remember what I said this morning. Never have to pay that again. You never have to go back and say, well, I think I'll pay you again. No, it was paid once for all. Simple salvation is, he paid the price once for all. That's our problem, which, like I said before, everything gets thrown in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and we just pull it right back out. It's gone. Out of his mind. He doesn't remember it no more. Listen, if God remembers your sin, you're in trouble. If God remembers your sin, you're a sinner. If you're not, if you're a born-again Christian, he cannot. Listen, that's where the judgment part is. That's why if you'll get this simple plan of salvation, it's just so neat how that God can do that. That he can take and clean your soul out. Your soul be just as eternal as God is, but the rest of you be completely dying like this. This thing dying. And your spirit realm, that's where Satan is going to be digging at you from the time from here to the time you get out of here, one way or the other. Because he can't bother your soul. He can't get in there. Unclean spirit's gone out of that thing, and it will not get back in if it's full of the Holy Ghost. All right? Like I said today, this morning, that there's that pawn shop. That's taking you, the person. What is the person? Is this your person? No. Brother Branham said, you don't see the real William Branham. You don't see the real Donnie Fawbush. The real Donnie Fawbush is inside that. Now, what he displays are he manifests what's inside of him. He's Donnie Fawbush. He was born to Hazel and Tom Fawbush. All right? All right? Had a brain burp there for a minute. Yeah. But that's where the natural part you can see came from. But the soul come from God. Soul come from God whether he's born again or not. So the soul comes from God. That's the real person. It came from God. Now what happens is you come down here, the prophet even tells us, you come down here to make your choice, to make your decision is right here. Now he saw you make it before the foundation of the world. And he predestinated because he predetermined what he saw. He didn't predetermine what he wanted. Come on, he didn't predetermine what he wanted because he wanted all to be saved. And everybody's not going to be saved. But he saw who would and who wouldn't. He saw who would say, God, get me out of this pawn shop. And I don't want to ever go back to that place again. Isn't there places you've been in your life that you never, for $1 million, you wouldn't go back to that same spot again? I've got about 10 or 12 of them. I'd be a multimillionaire if I did that. Amen? I never go back to that place because I know what happened. You know what happened. You're the only one that knows what happened. But God doesn't even know it now. If you're born again, forget about it. You can't forget about it, but you can soften it a lot by saying, God, you told me in your Bible that if I believe on you, you'll put every bit of my sin in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Never to be remembered again. That's why Jesus stood up to those Pharisees and he said, you used to have a way out. You had a cloak for your problems and your issues and your sin. But now, you don't. The word has been presented to you the way it's supposed to be in the Old Testament, in flesh. I'm here now. I'm the Messiah. I am the Son of God. Son of Man. Whatever title you want to give him, back and forth. But they knew when he started speaking that. If you'll watch that series called Chosen. When he talks about the Son of Man, you watch them two Pharisees. Why do they always wear black? Always got on black. Like there's some dark. They are. Dark spirits coming in. He called himself the Son of Man. They knew what he was talking about. Like Brother Bob was talking about. They knew what happened in the garden. They knew it was by fornication that they were. Well, look at them. They knew they came wrong. So they didn't have to teach them about an apple. That's why they stood one day and said, we be not born of fornication like you are. But he wasn't born of fornication. He was born by God. Amen? He knew who his daddy was. Do we? Do we know who our father, our progenitor is? Not your dad sitting there, seven rows from here. Your heavenly father. That's why we have to deny. You can't put away your first birth, but you can deny that that's what's going to shape you. Come on, deny that. Oh, I'm this way because my daddy was this way. Well, you know what? I'm this way because what my daddy is too. Amen. I'm this way because my daddy made me this way. My real dad made me this way. I got good characters from my daddy, but I got some bad ones. Paul, everybody gets quiet. What was that question we asked at the banquet? That brought a lot of contention because I asked him, Sister Ann, I said, does your husband act more like his mama or his daddy? Oh, Lord, you ought to have seen them looks at each other, especially when one would say mama, another one would say daddy. And I am so glad that I was the moderator. You see, as being the moderator, I don't have to, you know, this all this. You've never seen looks like you see when you see them people look at each other like they know this is the answer. They know my wife's going to say this. And they'll say blue and she'll say pink. Especially those new ones, the new people. We kind of know each other. I could answer every one of them questions for most of y'all. But some of the new people, you know, they kind of look at each other. That one couple, they needed a lot of work. All the way back to Dallas, they should have been talking about some stuff. But listen, do you know your Heavenly Father that way? Who's your daddy? We always say that to be funny. Who's your daddy? Well, I know who my daddy is. I hope we act like our daddy. You say, well, we have problems. Sure, we have problems. Well, listen, we've got that one spot of humanity because we were born through a womb. All right? This is that one spot you're not going to get rid of. Everybody with me? About that size right there. Brother Brown said, this thing will be sticky till it's changed. You've got that one sticky thing, which you know in your mind how you got here. If y'all didn't, you need to go talk to your spouse and find out what happened. But you know how you got here, and there's no denying that from what I see standing here or sitting here. But inside of us, it's not another person. Oh, sure, it's the person of Jesus Christ. But you are a unit. So that unit, when the soul is changed, then it starts working to the spirit realm. And then we display it with this. This is still going to look like Samuel and Peggy Dale. But inside of me, you got to realize there's an 18-year-old person that looks just like he did when he was 18 years old. But that's the way God did. He put this one to this one and this one to this one to get you here. He put a genetic, Brother Aaron, he's all into this genetic stuff. One day he's going to find out he come from somewhere he maybe didn't want to. Elvis Presley, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, okay, all right, I shouldn't have said that. I apologize. But, you know, genealogies are good, but what can you do about it, number one? And what are you going to do about it, number two?
That's right.
I don't care who I came from. I came from God, and I'm going back to God. If you got the new birth, you came from God. And you're going back to God. He took a picture, you, Brother Ram said, before the foundation of the world. What a photographer. I bet it was an HD, too. I bet it wasn't no camera roll. I wasn't, you know, that flash stuff. No, it was high definition. Because he knows exactly your character. You know why? Because he did. He took this one and this one to this one, this one to this one, this one to this one to get you here. In the personality you're supposed to be and the features you're supposed to be. What a mighty God. That has, you know, he's in control of this whole thing. We have a part in it, sure, by our choices. But he's going to have somebody that's going to look like him. Praise the Lord. So our soul, there's the foundation, there's the whole thing. If we get that right to begin with, then we can start on the building. We can get the foundation right. We can get started to do this next part and add to your new birth. Add to the real you. What does add mean to minister? Just what we're doing now. Listen, if you've not grown, if you're a Christian and you haven't grown, I'd go back and figure out whether I was a Christian or not. Listen, things are going to bother us always. Always. You need to cover the weak part that you were before you got born again. And know what Brother Brown said? He said, Satan knows your weakness, and he said, you better throw that shield up. Well, you keep it there. Keep it up there. And just keep doing, keep putting the shield of what? Faith. Believing that God's going to take care of you, but you got to get behind it. Remember what Eve's problem was? Brother Brown said, Eve came around and got in front. And that's what our problem is. We want to help God. Not have a lot of patience. Definitely not have a lot of temperance. But your soul is the real you. So that's the real person that we've been trying to deal with for 6 months. And still get, I'm still coming back to it. Because we got to know that we're born again before we can add. Peter knew he was born again. He knew on the day of Pentecost. He stood up and said, this is that. This is that. Joel says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I was thinking about that just a few minutes ago. Brother Border, somebody sent me the clip for the Ashbury, that revival they're having. That could be the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But that could just be anointed ones too. Because they don't know what they're shouting about. And didn't Brother Brown say they shout, but they don't know what they're shouting about? They can say Jesus, Jesus, and not get anything. They get an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because this outpouring, I believe, on us. Amen. And with us, it's going on down. It's digging a deeper well. It's going to our soul. Because we have the right teaching. We know what the right word is. We know what God does to our soul. It's not just a, well, you know, I'm a Christian today and I'm not tomorrow. And I'm up here and I'm down here. Hey, somewhere, folks, you're going to have to put a nail down or a big old stake and say, this is it. This is it. Minister nourishment. I never will get finished with this. To supply. To be supplied. So add. What's an additive in a if you get gasoline, Donnie's already told us that there's really only a couple of types of oil. They may be Castrol, Valvoline, and all those different brands, but there's only just a few because what they do is they put a different label on it and send it out. Right, Brother Donnie? Valvoline's about the most cleanest and the best one. He knows because he's in the industry. Same way with microwaves. They put LG on about five or six of them. They put GE on five or six of them. They slap this on. It's the same identical thing. That's the devil. God will let us know what we need. We just got to know where to get it at, which would be in the fivefold ministry, which is, I believe, the only way for us to get out of here. But I will restore. Now, I will restore to you. So we were talking about that this morning. Let's continue on. We know what ate it down. It was creeds and denominational ideas. And our own ideas is what eats the Word of God down. All right? Then Brother Bram give us the vision. And I like what somebody said the other day. We were talking about something, and we can talk about vision. Visions are great. Aren't visions great? It's great to hear Brother Bram talk about a vision. I was looking, and I saw a bride. Or I was looking, and I saw the green checkered shirt. Right? When Brother Bisco was, that he was going hunting, he was going to kill this caribou and this grizzly bear. He said there was a young man, his young hand, he saw him in the vision, but he saw a green checkered shirt, right? That's just, to me, it's just wonderful to listen to those. But it don't mean diddly squat to me if I'm not in the vision. It's wonderful to tell the story of it, but I got to be in it. If not, I'm left out. But I am in the vision he saw. And I don't care if I'm that bride that got out of step. He said she got back in line. Amen. She'll get out of step with that word if I don't watch. When she's passing by, if she gets by. Maybe it'll be my time when I'm over. See, when I'm finished or whatever. They were getting back, trying their best. What? Wait a minute. They were what? They were trying their best to get back in line. Try your best to get back in line. just get in line. They were looking. What were they looking at? They weren't looking at the God right here. They were looking, what's going on out yonder? What's going on out in the political world? What's going on over here in this place? And what's going on in this church? And what's going on? Not watching where you walk in yourself. What they were looking somewhere else, watching about that church. Listen, you start looking at that church out there, you are going to get out of step in this line of the bride. But two, the front ones never, the back ones, just two or three of them, was kind of step out a little bit to the right-hand side. Looked like it was trying to get back in line as they went by. They just passed me, oh, far as here to there, to the wall. Remember what he said at the end of the real vision he was telling? He said he woke up saying, get back in line or get back in step. Well, that's the message. That's the message we got now. Get back in line. Get back in step with God. But this bride comes in view twice. God loves us so much. There's a bride showing here, and then he's going to show a bride in the end time. Even though she might be a little bit out of step, she's going to get back in line because she is B-R-I-D-E. She is bride. She is not church. She's bride. She's the wife of Jesus Christ. She will get back in line. The seed fell in the ground at Nicaea. That was the original seed. She came through the what? The process of these denominations, which only comes into existence once. But the bride returns back again in the last day. I will restore. That's the reason she was in view, reviewed the second time. She was reviewed the first time through the first three church ages. She was perfectly the second time like she was the first time. Oh, God, have mercy. Hurry, hurry, life, get in the grain. Why did Brother Brown say that? Because his message was grain message. His message was coming up through justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But he said it was the four life messengers. Last one was the word. The last one is not a stalk. It's not a tassel. It's not a shuck. It's the very seed that went in the ground. And that's what we're feeding on now. We're feeding on the grain. We're not feeding on the stalk. The stalk won't grow itself back. The seed will. The seed word of God we listen to every Wednesday night, every Sunday, every time we press play, every time we talk about the word of God. There's got to be something, a reaction. Amen. Don't fall behind. Amen. This is a living word. This is not, oh yeah, sometimes it looks like dry bones. Sometimes y'all really look like dry bones. But it looks like dry bones. But remember, that army came to life. L-I-F-E. That army came to life. Amen. By what? By the word. By that fourth message that came today. This living message. This word of God. This that we're looking at today. You're sitting in the right place today. Amen. Not the seat you're sitting in. You're sitting in the right place in the word of God. Listen, Luther got a part, no doubt. He's well known all over the world. Wesley, all over the world. Methodist. There's a method of religion. There's a method of worship. And God said, I'll take that right now, but let's move on. Then you got the Pentecostals, which come with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They got gifts in the church. They had happy times. They had wonderful times, speaking in tongues. God prophesying, talking to people through people. But the last of it, remember Brother Brown talks about being, you know, the water coming up to here, and the Bible tells us the water keeps coming up. And then he talks about the neck. He said, but once you get in the intelligence, there are no more moving parts. From here up, there's no moving parts. But now what's going on? Now some of you may have an issue with this. There's something going on above my eyes. I done told you. Easy. From here up, there's something going on right now. I am processing. So are you. Well, some of you are not. But you're processing. Listen, milliseconds, you're processing thousands and hundreds of thousands of memory. Because when I make a quote, what do you do? You say, I heard that Sunday. I heard that last week. I heard that on a tape. I know what he's talking about. It's just like this. So there, you know what? This is what I'm telling you. There's no moving parts. Look, this is moving parts. This is the Pentecost. But when it comes to the intelligence, the knowledge of God, you can't see me. I can be standing just like this and have a revelation that just burns. That's why you've got your temperature is 98.6. Well, some may be a little lower because of volume, but not you, buddy. But that's why your temperature, kids, that's why you have a temperature. Your body's firing. It's a fire mechanism. It's working. It's going. That's why I'm sweating right now, because it's going. But I'm doing this. But from here up, nobody sees it working but you. And nobody sees it working but God. God sees that you're thinking about Him instead of having to work on a tractor or what Walmart's got on sale tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. All y'all will be healed, so you'll be fine. All you sisters are going to that play tomorrow. You'll sit there 3 hours and watch that show. Never bat an eye. I'm going somewhere with this. Never bat an eye. You're going to be there 30 minutes early, and you're going to stay there the whole time. And you're going to watch that show because that's what you like. Why can't you do that sitting here? Oh, I know. You don't like me. That's okay. But I'm trying to save your soul. I don't care about your feelings. I really do not. I care about your soul. I want your soul saved. But I want you to realize that's how close it is. God's watching you, not me. It's strange how that you can't come to church on Sunday, but I look on Facebook on Monday, and you've got an airplane and flew four hours for a trip that week. I'm preaching now. But come on! Where's your desire? Where's your desire? But in the last day of Malachi 4, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to tell you. I'm not trying to upset you, but I hope it does. Because how are you going to get it? Listen, some of us get it. No, I don't say us. Some of y'all get it just, I mean, like, whoo. Some of us is like, I don't want that. But then the Lord says, yeah, you need that. Then you what? You go, swallow that temperance and say, Lord, I know He hates me. I mean, He loves me, but He hates sin. Brother Dale, you know Brother Dale loved y'all. He still does. I don't say love, but when he was up here just firing away. But he'd say some things that sometimes you go, wow. It's like Brother Claude said. He said, I was listening to watch your daddy the other day and said, I just know I heard heads hitting the ground. I know they were rolling down that center aisle, but it was done with love. He's trying to save your soul, not worrying about the rest of you. Because look, if he can save that thing right there, and Broaddale can't save you, you know that, but he can get you to a point to where he can put you in contact with that guy. And there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. There's no excuse that we'll ever have, especially in this church, that you can't get your soul saved. We're not going to sit here and tell you that soul was fine. It was good when you was a baby. God was already in there. Don't worry about it. You are saved for the foundation of the world. Well, yeah, you are in the mind of God, but not in that same thing you're sitting in. I was going to say something else. Sorry thing you sitting in, but we all bunch of sorry people. We come from a tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? Four killers took it. Look, they weren't nice. They ate that tree down. They had a purpose. To eat the word of God down so that it would have no effect. But thank God. Prophesy, son of man. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Because there's creative power in the Word of God. There's creative power in speaking the Word of God. Can these bones live? What's the four stages come forth of the church? What's the four stages of Ezekiel dry bones? But the life only come not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. Jesus stood one day and told the disciples, he said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Now they didn't receive it then. That was a potential. That was saying you're going to receive it on the day of Pentecost. He couldn't give them the new birth. He couldn't give them the Holy Ghost before he died. Amen. Is everybody with me on that? Brother Brown said potentially they had the opportunity to receive that breath of life. Listen, Jesus' natural breath can't save you. It's just breath. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about that part that was inside of him. He said, I'm going to make your dry bones. I'm going to make them breathe. And it's going to be the breath of eternal life, not the breath of life. All right, the fourth stage was the word. Let's keep on going. We got to get somewhere. Brother Graham talks about what's the time when the sons of God is ever to be manifest? Today. Today. Listen, if we can't manifest, if you're manifesting God and you're not getting any joy in your life and you're not getting anything going on with God as far as reading and studying and getting revelation and really loving to do what God said, go back to the bottom. And let's start over again. Nature is waiting on us as we were praying. Lord, there's what? 30,000 people died in that one earthquake. Where was it at? Turkey? 30,000 people. One earthquake. 7 point something. That's going to be a pimple to what's going to happen in California. Millions are going to die in just a few seconds. Much less more as the day keeps going on and they can't get to them. And they're in their buildings and they're under the ocean drowning. Why? Because they turned the word of God down. There won't be a bride in that part. Was there a bride in Jerusalem? Not when Titus, and, you know why? They did what the word said. Jesus told them, get out of here. When you see that, get out of this city. There wasn't a believer inside that city. You get caught in the city, worry about your belief. Spirit of God coming into these men so perfectly until their ministry will be so close like Christ till they join him and his church together. Listen, you're going to be hated if you tell the truth. You're going to be hated. People are going to hate you. Bible says, have I become your enemy? Why? Because I've told you the truth. Because people hate. Satan hates truth. He does not like it. He hates truth. All right, besides just giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Now here, knowledge, we've been talking about knowledge, but I want you to understand something about knowledge. This knowledge is not knowledge to get you through school. Okay? High school, college. All right? Now you can put that two together and use Holy Ghost knowledge if you'll put him first. Then your knowledge, you know what Brother Brown said? He said, take the kiddies and get around the table. And if it says, one of them said, Dad, I'm having a test today. I mean, how many of y'all have ever done that? Don't raise your hand. You kids say, man, I'm having a hard time, Dad, Mom. I got a test tomorrow. Well, let's get down here and pray. You know what's the first thing we say? I'm sorry. First thing I say, go in your room and study. Cut off your computer and get in there and study. Well, let's stop and pray about it first. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. And then all these other things will come into line. All right? Kids, if you want to do good on a test, get your godly parents by the hand and say, look, I know that it's going to be tough. Because you really got to use your black matter. You got to use your white matter brain or your gray matter. You got to use that because you're a human. Let me put it this way. God's not going to take the test for you. But he's going to give you the knowledge to remember what you learned in school or learned. That was the whole thing with me. I listened to the teachers. A lot of people, they just sat there and, you know, shot spit wads and throw paper airplanes out the window and, you know, talked about their girlfriend or was worried about what they was going to do after school. I listened, and I didn't have to take a book home. I didn't make a B till I got to college. That's a fact. I can't say that about the other two in his family, but happened to me. But what did I do, though? It brought back what I had learned. Same thing with the gospel. Holy Ghost knowledge will do what? It'll bring things to what? The Bible says, to your remembrance whatsoever. In other words, whatsoever you heard, not something you didn't hear. You can't get a revelation of something you don't know just a little bit about. You got to know a little bit about it before you get a revelation. And you might have the wrong interpretation. But God will turn that thing and say, no, this is it. Remember Brother Branham? Brother Branham, he all thought that the new birth was just love. Remember, it's what he said. He taught that the new birth was just love. Love, everybody. He said the angel corrected me on that. See, we may not have an angel come in our bedroom, but we got preachers coming on Sundays and Wednesdays with an angel that's going to tell you that your revelation is a little bit off. Brother Brown was going to preach that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. He said that, right? He said, if the angel hadn't come in the room and corrected me, that's a prophet. That's somebody that you think, man, he's just got a connection with God. And everything God says, he just said, no, he's human. We're human beings. So he said, no, prophet. He said, you need to go back and read that again. I think you missed it. That guy's a bluff. And he said, my God's not a bluff. Satan may be a bluff, but I'm not. So, boy, here, then see the, Brother Brown said, oh, I was going to make a horrible mistake. I was going to teach that that man that was the awful devil was God. A prophet. Don't get quiet on me. That's what he said. It's on tape. But knowledge signifies general intelligence, understanding, knowledge of what? Christian religion. The deeper and more perfect and enlarged knowledge of this religion, such as belongs to the more advanced. So we don't have just knowledge. Now we had a knowledge that we were born again. Now we must have Holy Ghost knowledge to teach us more. Because listen, there's John 3:16 is in the Bible. It takes up about that much of that whole Bible. You can't just hone in on that. Right? You got 66 other books and all them chapters and all them verses. That's what? That's yours. If you plug into John 3:16, you'll learn all those other things. Such as belong to the more advanced. Especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom such as in seen and right living. See, we have a knowledge now. When Brother Branham, he comes and he's teaching the word of God and the word's opening up to each one of us. Am I boring you?
No.
Okay, well, you got quiet a little bit. Brother Branham comes and he teaches and he's standing there and he says, that Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is not right. Thousands of people hung their soul on that it was right. Think about it. Think with me a minute. Here's Brother Brown. Now I'm teaching it to y'all, and y'all are going, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah, I know about the water baptism. I know that, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I know it's not right. But what about a group of people that built their whole soul? Their whole religion was based on that. And he's trying to change their mind. And they're resenting one right after the other. And you know he could feel it. You know he could feel it. You know where it was coming from. Because a lot of times he stopped. He said, I wouldn't think that if I were you. I mean, it's like, whoa, what happened here? Uh-oh. Yeah. You know what? That person, they had an uh-oh moment. They're like, ooh. But think about that. See, it's easy for us. See, when I preach it, or anybody preaching it, just flows. Even like the brother the other day said he liked preaching here. Why? Because it flows. There's no resistance. It just flows because we all have an understanding of the message of the hour. But it's really tough to preach. It would be if you went to a Baptist church. What would you preach? Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not baptism. The Trinity is not even in the Bible. I mean, here we go. What are we going to do? Then all that's coming back. Those spirits are coming back towards you. And it hinders the move of God. And that's what Brother Brown was saying. It hindered the move of God to move on through those denominations out into not his message, but the truth. So it was hindering. So he had to have, listen, he had to have every one of those virtues. Or he would have just, if it had been me, I'd have got mad at him and said, I'm done with you. I'm going back somewhere. And I'm going, you know, he even said that one time. Right? He said, I wish that I could do like Elijah and just step out and give a prophecy and go back to the mountains and never see another person. That's what he said. Why? He got tired of fooling with them spirits. Every time he preached, he come and he tell the Pentecostals, he said, I preach on cutting hair. He said, every year you get worse. Every year you get worse. I come back every year and you get worse. What about a man preaching the truth and he doesn't see the results? It tests your temperance. It tests your patience. I promise you one thing. Elisha, when he called out those she bears, see, if he'd had the Holy Ghost in his soul, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done that. Something would have stopped him. Brother Branham, let's take the same case. Not the exact same case, but let's take a case just like that. Brother Branham looks up in an audience, and here's a man, a boy and a girl making love up in the balcony. He said, stop, don't do that. Keeps on going. Power of God's in the whole building. He's discerning. He looks up, and he says, I told you to stop that. Then he said, something spoke to him and said, whatever you say, that's what will happen. Whatever you say. Now, if we would have been full of a lot of temperance that wasn't good, they're disturbing the service. This service has got to go on. They can't be up there doing that. You know what he said? He looked at him. He said, from right here, he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Remember God told him, said, if whatever you say, they can pack them out dead.
Yeah, right.
He could have said that. He said, both of you fall dead, and they'd have both fell dead. That would have been the Elijah and Elisha of the Old Testament. But not the Elijah of the New Testament. Oh, praise God. He had what? He had temperance. He had patience. He knew they were sinners. He knew they were doing what they were taught to do by their daddy, the devil. He said, I forgive you. How many of us would do that? No, don't answer. Me either. Me either, because, I mean, you get aggravated about certain things. You're disturbing the service. Well, just think about that. How controlled he was. You watch Brother Ram, everything was under control. Even with Jesus, everything was under control. That's what I, and I'm getting off a little bit on the, over here on the meddling side, but, you know, you take people in the message, and they always want a certain kind of service. Right? They have their five favorite preachers. I'm just going to say it. And they have their, they want their results. And that's what they get. They get their results. Anything out of that norm, it's like, nothing happened. We didn't get anything today. The Spirit of the Lord just didn't move in here. I thought the Bible said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is wisdom. Wisdom to discern that, yeah, something is going on from right here to here. From right here to here, there's a lot going on. I want you to think. Then you can react later. Now, this right here is not a good reaction. But somewhere in between that. Somewhere in between that. Like Brother George Smith, he puts that big old level up there, and he says, there's a balance. We got to have a balance. And it is a balance. We do have to have that. But do not expect God to go by your results. He'll go by his own. He knows who needs it. He knows who don't need it. He's got his own timing. We just got to be, what Brother Ram say? He said, I just make myself available. And that's what he said? I'm waiting on him. I'm making myself available for God to step in here and talk to you. Well, praise the Lord. That's the way it happens. And the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree. Now we can eat. We're talking about eating the tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's what we're eating on now. But we are eating now off of the tree of life. We are eating from that all the way up. We are building. What is that? That's a building. We are building something back. Zerubbabel was given a foundation. He said, and the Lord said, build that temple. He built it back. And who built it back? I want to ask you a question. Did Zerubbabel just look at that and he went, there's a pile of stones, there's some wood. Brother Gary's built many houses like this. He orders the wood, he orders the bricks, and he just stands there and goes, all right, build a house. No, he ain't done that. No. Use people. People that were willing to work. People that were willing to put a trowel in this hand and a sword in this hand. Build the thing, build the wall, build the temple, and watching out for the enemy. Isn't that the way we look? Amen. And that's the way it is for us. We're building something, but we got to watch out for the enemy. Right. In the early church, watch what happened. The false vine got intertwined with the true vine. It's not like we think it's way over here and you can tell the difference in this one and this one. They're intertwined. The only thing is what we talked about this morning. It's the maturity. Didn't Jesus say, he said, leave them alone. In other words, leave them alone through all these church ages. They're going to prove in the end whether they're seed or not seed. Because the shuck is Pentecost. The shuck is now dead. The shuck had a purpose. It protected the seed. But once the shuck pulled away or burst open, what come out? The seed. That's where the life was. The life wasn't in the shuck. It come through the shuck into the seed. That's what we're feeding on today. We're feeding on the seed word of God, not the shuck word of God. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. We're not feeding on the stalk word of God. Now, you might be in that stage in your journey, but we're not feeding off of that. We're feeding off the flesh of the Son of Man. Who is the flesh of the Son of Man at the end time? You are. But it intertwined itself around the true vine. And we find these deeds of the Nicolaitans. And that spirit is going to be found. Look, fighting the true vine until it's destroyed by God. That's why Brother Branham, and we need to read it again. A word to the church. Brother Branham said, bind together. Well, that's why the Bible says, and I'm just going to read it again, where the Bible says, the more as the day approaches, you're supposed to come together more. Not less. Come together more. Why? Because you need to intertwine ourselves together. Put our faith together. Put our faith muscles together. What happens when a wolf is looking for... You watch some of those shows and you see a leopard or you see the lions. They run through that pack and that pack's all packed up. And all of a sudden, one will jump out. Or either they'll take off and one's got a limp. Well, you know what? They don't go after that guy that's running 300 miles an hour. They go after that guy that's running 30 miles an hour. That's the same way the devil is. He sees the one that's weak. But you know what happens, praise God, even in nature? If it's a calf, guess what's going to happen? Mama's going to turn around. And she's going to, oh, praise God. She's going to run back and say, that's my baby. Take me if you need to, but leave my kid alone. That's what we ought to say about our kids. Leave our kids alone, devil. I know they got out of the pack. I know they got out somewhere in the wilderness. I know they're out there fighting. But God, don't let them die. Amen. Amen. Go find them. Amen. Thirdly, add knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge because that's foolishness to God. What has knowledge done in this end time? It's killed more people than it's helped. Gunpowder, cars. Hey, cars kill more people than anything in the world. Wars and everything. More people die in auto accidents than anything. Yet, guess what? We're going to go get in that missile and drive to the house. And we're going to have some that's got electric. And it's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. And we can let go of the steering wheel. And it drives itself. Yeah. Do like that Google car did that time. It didn't stop. I think humans still ought to be driving a car. We make enough mistakes as it is. But knowledge. That don't mean worldly knowledge because that's foolishness to God. But knowledge to what? To judge. Knowledge to judge. You got to look at that Bible and judge whether you can do it or not. You got to look at the message of the hour. You got to look at what I'm saying, Brother Dale, all the different ones are saying. You got to look at that, and you got to judge whether that's right or wrong. Right. That's for you to do. That's why this. That's why it's a two-way street, like the old saying is. How do you judge it then if you got Christian knowledge with your virtue, which is what? Power and faith are the new birth. You judge whether the word is right or wrong. But when you see that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see that, look, by the revelation, in other words, by the unveiling of God, you see the whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal him. That's why Brother Brown did not use a Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or all these great people that went to college, went to Bible college to learn how to form your message. Get them right here, you know, and bam in the middle and then soften it up at the bottom. I've seen people told me that. That's what they do. They tell you how to preach. Think about that one. So who's preaching? The denomination is preaching. Because you're preaching what the envelope says. You're preaching what they tell you to, you know. But not us. That's why Brother Brown, seventh grade education, can't hardly understand what he's talking about sometimes. We did. See, that's why we got an excuse. Maybe then people in the foreign countries or even people up north got an excuse. You and I don't have an excuse. We know what maters and taters is. We know what a mule is. We know what a corn bed is. We know what this is. We know that. Some of them don't even know what that is, but we do. The only knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get and say, punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Everybody with me? And I keep coming back to this because I believe this. There's a spirit of wisdom that's going to come into this church. I'm talking about this church and any other message church that's preaching the word of God. The spirit of wisdom. Knowing how to handle things. Like I said before, a word to church. Brother Bram said, bind closer together. He said, don't let Satan get in between you. Don't let him shoot you with a dart. Don't let him divide you. Bring everything together. Because you know what? Then what's going to happen? The flow is going to be much better when it flows. Like the brother said, he likes to preach here. Why is he like to preach here? He don't have to sit in background for 30 minutes. Or he doesn't feel. See, I'm up here now, and even the ministers, you can feel a certain way you're going, and you can feel it. It's like it's pushing. Right, Brother Bob? Right, different ones, brothers? Well, the other brothers are not, Brother Dale. It feels like this, and guess what you do? Brother Dale, he's explained it many times. You go this way. And see, that may be God dealing with this one, or that may be the devil trying to get you to not go down this way. So you're sitting here, I mean, who needs discernment this day and time? Just look at faces. I got it. Anyway, but the spirit of wisdom, there are a group of people. I contend this is a group of people that has the spirit of wisdom. It will come into the church to what? To make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So see, that's kind of a threefold thing. It's not just, we're just going to have wisdom. No. By revelation of the Holy Ghost. Bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. You say, bro, wait, we know what day we're living. We're living in the last day. Now, do you really know what day you're living in? You're living in a bride day. You're living in a day where you got to get up that statue of perfect man. Well, you can say amen if you want to, but I'll say amen. That's exactly where we're at. Time of playing's over with. The foolish virgin played. That's why they didn't have no oil. They played around. The wise virgins took oil. They knew something was coming. They knew. Because remember, they both went to sleep at the same time. But they did go to sleep with one full and one empty. They were prepared. These were not. We got to be prepared. Let's skip on a little bit more. 3:30. There's nothing such prevailing power. Now, I like to read this again. Look, prevailing power. Not just, listen, we have a service and the power of God just, like we had not too long ago. Power of God just swept in the building. He just felt when I was standing up here, when Brother Darrell was here, it was like raindrops. It was like a tingle. And just standing there and just feeling it. Knowing that y'all were feeling it too. Now see, that's a But that says prevailing power. Prevailing power is this. Your graph don't look like this. Like your bank account. No, it's prevailing power. It's power that does this right here all the way through. Doesn't matter if Satan comes out. Doesn't matter if the devil comes at you, gives you a headache, gives you what. Doesn't matter if somebody comes along and says, oh, you're not preaching. You're not that Brother Branham, he's just prevailing power. It prevails over every bit of that. And listen, we do have ups and downs. But there's a prevailing power that keeps us in the middle. There's nothing such prevailing power as a revelation of the word. So in this verse 3 is a blessing pronounced on those who give attention to this book, talking about the Bible. Now that word revelation, we were talking about this morning, jump to it real quick. Let's read it just for a second. Revelation is the act of, look, all this is emotion. God never sat still. A revelation is not sitting still. A revelation is, as Brother Ernie said, it's dunamis. It's power. There's no such prevailing power as a revelation. You want something to sustain you, get a revelation. It will sustain you from this, and this, and this, and this, and this. It's prevailing. The act or process of what? Disclosing something previously secret. How many times have you come into a service? I have too. Like Brother Dale said one time, he said, smart as I am, I didn't think of that. But how many of you have come into a place and somebody brings something out and you go, wow, man, I never seen that before. Well, I didn't mean that a brand new book came out. That didn't mean that a 67th book of the Bible came out. You were reading it the whole time, but something was veiled. And whose fault was it? And mine, but it's our fault. No, it was the devil. No, it was me. So the act, action, or process, plan of disclosing something previously secret or obscure, especially something true. A fact disclosed or revealed, especially in a dramatic or a surprising way. That aha moment. Aha, that's what that means. Christianity. In Christianity, it's God's disclosure, look, of his own nature. Isn't that what we're talking about now? Well, and that come from Webster. Sorry, that came from the internet. Google. I just did it back there a few minutes ago. Devil wasn't nowhere around. That was me. God's disclosure of his own nature. And look, his purpose for mankind. His plan for mankind, especially through the words of human intermediaries. Oh, sorry guys, got to hear it through us. Something in which such a divine disclosure is contained, such as the Bible. Brother Brown said, the prevailing overcoming, now look, church, is built on revelation so we can expect God. Somebody say that with me. Expect God. Expect God to reveal it to us. Take God at his word. Sit down and say, God, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't know about this adoption. But you know what you do? You say, I don't know about this adoption, and then you go watch YouTube for 3 hours. Come on. Or if Luis was here, Netflix sends you a notification that there's a new something on. Guilty. But why don't we get things? We don't make ourselves available. Or we make ourselves available to other things. But the prevailing overcoming church is what? Built on revelation so we can expect God to reveal it to us. But we can't expect him to reveal it to us, like I said, reading, as Brother Dale's always said, Greer's Almanac. If you know what that is, some of you don't know what that is. It's a farmer's calendar to tell you what to grow and what not to grow, what sign to plant under and what, you know, if it's going to be a bad winter. Yeah, anyway. So that's an almanac. They put it together. A bunch of old people put it together. So we can expect God to reveal his truth to us. Look, however, you don't need a revelation on water baptism. It's staring you right in the face. Now, wait a minute. Hold on, Brother Branham. Hold on. If 500 people... people were sitting in this congregation, well, 1,000 people, 950 of them would have said, that ain't right, because they're Trinitarians. They were baptized all in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he just told them, he said, it's staring you right in the face. That's why they didn't like him. Hebrews 5:13. I'm gonna get somewhere here. I'm gonna get to temperance. I'm gonna get to temperance. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now listen, milk will sustain you. Milk will, you know, it'll help you live, but it won't help you grow. But strong meat belongeth to them that are what? Of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to what? To discern good and evil. Discern means to what? Separate. Make a distinction. Discriminate. Sorry. God's a discriminator. He does not want us to deal with the world. He does not want us to go with certain people. He wants us to discriminate. Everybody with me? All right. That kind of discrimination, I'll go with you. All right. To prefer. This is a familiar quote. Let's read it. Christ in the true church. Now, I like what Brother Brown talks about, the true church. There's a false church. The Bible tells you there's a false church. Christ in the true church is a what? Continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it. Make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, discrediting of the word. We know that. We see that. I mean, when people are, like I said before, you take the ministry of William Branham, and you look and you go for 30-something years, and it goes and progresses like it does through the word of God and through the healing campaign, but then into the opening of the word. How can you call that false? Listen, Satan can't hold that together. God can. God held that together with that man. He held that together with Brother Branham all through till the day he passed away. Oh, and that's another thing, what that little... He's a brother. What that little brother said about Brother Branham not being a good Bible teacher. Basically what he was saying was, is that Brother Branham was fine until he was preaching doctrine, and then God let him die. And I've heard that before. Dad's heard it too. That Brother Branham got to messing around in things he shouldn't have got messing around in, you know, like the truth of the scripture. And God took him off the scene. Why would God take somebody off the scene if it was the truth? He was just done. He was finished with Brother Branham. He knew if Brother Branham stayed around here longer and longer, that everybody would just totally look to the man. He knows that if the people get the true revelation, so there is a true revelation of the true church, true, 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 and what she is and what she stands for, and she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation, what, of the two spirits, the two intertwined, knowledge of good and evil, tree of life, or then the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit, look, discern. In other words, have knowledge. And withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless. Oh, that's enough for me. Because we think he's this great, powerful person. He's not. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Resist. It's like going shopping at Walmart when they got out. Where's Richard at? Go shopping at Hamrick's. You can resist that thing, old devil. We didn't last night. We just had a bad problem last night. Walmart had all their hunting gear on sale. How I got off of that, I don't know. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. What did Jesus use in the desert? No, he spoke to him. He said, Satan, it's written. Do not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And what did Satan do? He finally had to leave him. I want Satan to be so aggravated with me that he'll leave me. Hello, somebody. I want him to be so aggravated. I try over here, and he's got it blocked. I try over here, and he's got it blocked. I'm talking about he, the Holy Spirit's got him, the devil, blocked. Can't get in. What? That right there. Huh? Block right here. Block right here. He's already got this block. Block right here. Block here. Block here. Guess what? Then devil just plays with your body. But yet, let me tell you something. Remember when God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Job said, "You've got a hedge built around him, and I can't get to him." He said, "If you'll take that hedge down," he said, "I'll make him curse you to your face." God said, okay, go try. So he tried a little bit, and he come back and he said, "Hey, you got a hedge built around him. Where was the hedge?" The hedge now was right here. Because he said, "Now you go ahead and touch his body," and even in his spirit realm, Job's like, "I don't know what is going on," and he's got three friends that are supposed to be his friends. I hope y'all don't have friends like them three friends were. But remember, it was three friends that were what? They were accusing him of everything. But my, when Elihu come on the scene, when number four, when Elihu walked up, being a young man, not being some great something, and not even being a friend of Job, he said, "Job, get up, stand on your feet. I'm going to tell you something." That was Jesus Christ in that man telling Job that, "Look, Job, quit looking for all these things. I know you're a righteous man. I know these things." And Job got so much of revelation, he said, "Oh, I know my Redeemer liveth." In other words, I know there's a chance. With these other three friends I got, I ain't got a chance in the world. They called him a secret sinner. They called him everything in the world. But Elihu said, "Stand on your feet, Job. Be a man. You got it inside of you because God's got a hedge around it. Let it out." And Job started speaking, and them three friends just went off into the, rode off into the distance. And what did Job do? He was restored or redeemed back. Everybody with me on that? So virtue, knowledge, we just talked about knowledge. So it's Holy Ghost knowledge. You got to discern. You're sitting here today, like I said before, you're discerning. You go home tonight, you're still discerning. You get up in the morning, go to work, you're still discerning. So let's go on to knowledge. Let's go on to temperance just for a minute. Just for about 5 minutes. Temperance is what? Self-control. The virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Self-control. Because remember, the meaning in the dictionary is over here on this side that says temperance is being able to control yourself from drinking alcohol. Right? Brother Brown told us that, but he said it's not that kind of temperance. He said it's controlling your uncontrollable temper over here on this side. So self-control, it's strong, it's robust, it has power over. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have mastered that power yet? Didn't think so. Me either. But we're working on it. We're working on it. He's still working on me. Mastering or controlling or curbing. Restraining. Control oneself. Because when you get a temper, you're what? Out of what? Control. You're out of control. You can't control yourself. But Brother Brown was talking about having that kind of temperance to control yourself. Control that temper that's in the spirit realm, not in your soul. It's in your spirit. We're talking about spirit now. We're talking about the spirit realm. We're not talking about the soul. The soul that's inside of you stood one day in a temple. Come on, somebody. And he saw him doing something that God, that was not right. And he sat there and he plaited a rope. But you know what I believe he done while he was plaiting a rope? He says, "Lord, if they only knew who I was. The reason they turned me down is why they're doing that." And he plaited that rope, and guess what he done? He didn't walk over there and tap him on the shoulder and ask him to leave. The Bible said he drove him out of the temple. Turned over the tables. But he asked us to curb that. He asked us to control that and restrain from doing that. Listen, what are you saying? You're going to get upset. You're going to get upset. Now, when we got upset before, the upset came from here, and we upsetted like he's – we upsetted the – we turned over the trash can. We kicked the – whatever, brother, whatever. Whatever was there, and usually when we kicked it, it really hurt afterwards. Have you ever hurt yourself being mad? Come on, you raise your hand now. Have you ever hurt yourself being mad, Danny? Raise your hand. Dan, thank you, bro. Wasn't that kind of dumb? You wasn't hurting to begin with. Your foot wasn't throbbing. But you got mad at somebody else, and you hurt yourself. That came from God? Yep. That came from the devil. Actually, that came from you. All right, look, add temperance real quick, and then we'll close. We've come to temperance. Now, you've had faith first. Have to have that. Look, he have to have that. He never gets away from that faith. You got to have faith. You got to have faith first. Have to have that to begin with. Then you add virtue or power to your faith, if it's the right kind of virtue. Then you add knowledge, if it's the right kind of knowledge, which what I is Holy Ghost knowledge. Now you're going to add temperance. Temperance doesn't mean stop drinking alcohol. You should have started that at the new birth. You're not stopped drinking while you're going up to statue of perfect man. If not, you need to go back down and start over again because you ain't born again. Okay. No. Temperance doesn't mean alcoholic cure, not in this case. This is Bible temperance, Holy Spirit temperance. That's just one of the lusts of the flesh. What? The drinking of the alcohol. But we're talking about Holy Spirit temperance. That means how to control your tongue. Not be a tattler. How to control your temper. Not fly off every time somebody speaks cross to you. Oh my. Boy, a lot of us is going to fall off before we get started, aren't we? See? Then we wonder why God is not in his church. Read that. Read it to yourself. Then we wonder in Lula Church why God's not moving. Well, we're just flat. There's nothing going on. Then we wonder why God is not in his church doing miracles and things that they used to do. Yes, sir. Brother Brown said, add these things. Add temperance. Oh, temperance. How to answer in kindness when wrath is spoke to you. Somebody says, you bunch of holy rollers down there, don't jump up and roll up your sleeve. Not that. But talk with godly love. Oh, y'all quiet. Oh, y'all all quiet. I'd be quiet too, but I got to talk. But talk with godly love, temperance, kindness. Is that the way you want to be? Congregation says. Amen. Those of you that didn't say amen, you can either, you need to find you another church. This one's not perfect enough for you. When you're riled upon, look, rile not back. Let him be your example. When they said, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He could have done it. And showed he was God. But he had temperance. When they called him Beelzebub, he said, I'll forgive you for that. They pulled hands full of beard out of his face and spit in his face and said, come down off the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. When he had a gift, he knowed all things, for in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. They had seen him perform miracles by telling people what was wrong with him and so forth. They put a rag on his head and around his eyes and hit him on the head and said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. We'll believe you. See, he had temperance. Now, if you got it like that, add it to your faith. If you still blow up and sass and fuss and stew and carry on. Uh-huh. You can't add that. Because it won't add. And this is what I want to get to right here. Remember we talked about vulcanized and I tried to explain it? I'm going to let Google explain it for you. Because there's some real good nuggets in this if you'll be a little spiritual. In just a few minutes. Turn off the natural. Turn on the spiritual. All right? It won't vulcanize. Why did Brother Bram use that word vulcanize? He only uses it one time in the Statue of Perfect Man. Never uses it again. Because he's wanting these things to be vulcanized in you. It won't vulcanize. You couldn't take a piece of rubber, you know, and vulcanize it to a piece of iron. Before we get started, I want to tell you where that word comes from. That word comes from the god Vulcan. He's the God of fire and something else. So they called it vulcanizing. Guess who started that? Mr. Goodyear, the one that makes Goodyear tires. In 1919 or something, when they started making tires, they went through a vulcanization process, which put the rubber together, and he called it vulcanizing because it took heat and fire, I think, is the God. Vulcan is the God, so they called it vulcanization. Well, you learn something if you didn't learn anything else. But those of you that were asleep, you didn't learn anything. He couldn't take a piece of rubber, you know, and vulcanize it to a piece of iron. It just won't work. No, it's got to be, look, flexible. Yeah, open your eyes to that one. Flexible just like the rubber is. And when your faith and your temperance becomes the same kind of Holy Ghost temperance that he had, then it will vulcanize with him. You're added to it. It's real quick, and then we'll close. I know it's a little bit long, but y'all will stand outside for 45 minutes to an hour and talk. So let's talk about God while we're in here. Is that okay? When your knowledge is like his knowledge, I came to do thy will, O God. See, with the Father's word, he defeated every devil. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will not pass away. When you got that kind of knowledge, it'll vulcanize with your faith. When you got that right kind of temperance, like he had, it'll vulcanize. If you haven't, just a man-made, halfway, soused up. Does anybody know what that means? Us Southerners do. I'll explain it later for another day. We'll explain it for another day. If you got a halfway soused up belief or temperance, oh, I ought to slap him down, but I better not because brother so-and-so will see me. And I'll get my name put in the paper. Wait a minute. Or I'll have my name put on Facebook or TikTok or Instagram. If Luis is here, he could explain what those are. God, they might put my name in the paper about it. That ain't the kind of temperance he's talking about. Don't try to add that. It won't work. But when you can, I don't want y'all reading ahead of me. I don't want you to read ahead of me. But when you can really, look, with the sweetness from your heart, forgive every man. Isn't that what Billy Paul said about Brother Brown? He never could tell who was Brother Brown's enemy or who's his friend. Now, you and I are not to that point yet. Because everything we do is conditional in the state we're in right now. Regina says something bad about me. Well, she turned every light in my house on 3-4 years ago. And I'm still paying the power bill. I'm sorry, Regina. I apologize. I really am. I apologize. Hey, listen, I'm trying to get... I got this pretty cat. This thing is so cute. I'll show you a picture of her. But I had to overcome that because I hated cats. I'm telling y'all, I hated cats. There was one good kind of cat, and that was a dead one. They come to my house, they died of lead poisoning. I'm sorry. That's just the way I was. I didn't like cats, but I love them now because God told me. He said, that's my nature too. That's my animals. You leave them alone. Now, he told me that, and I've never heard much spoken in my brain, but that was spoken in my brain that I needed to what? Work on my temperance. And my patience. Listen, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. What are y'all going to do? Thank you. I believe it will. But when you can really, with the sweetness from your heart, forgive every man, hold your peace, let it be gone. See? Then it'll vulcanize. You can add that to your faith. Now look, faith. Now watch this. This is why Brother Brown used this word vulcanize. Now, listen, there was a Webster's Dictionary back then, but you had to do this. All I got to do is put it in Google and it pops right up. Science Direct explains, and I want you to think about this. Why did he use that word vulcanize right here at temperance? Look, we're already three virtues up, because remember, faith's not a virtue. It's not an add. You add two. Temperance. He's got up to temperance and he's wanting us to see something, because he never mentions it again. All right? Don't you be reading that. Mary. The impact of vulcanization on rubber. Now, this is rubber. Watch. Science Direct. Wake up just a minute and I'll teach you something. Science Direct explains that vulcanization changes the physical. Read this spiritually. Why did Brother Branham say vulcanize? He could have said glued. He could have said patched, put together, sewn. He said vulcanize. It changes the physical properties of the rubber by forcing it to retract. Me, of course, there are mechanical... Y'all quit reading down that far. Cheaters. You need patience. We'll get to that next Sunday. Of course, there are, look, mechanical methods that can force rubber to retract as well. The difference with vulcanization, however, is that it... Come on, somebody. You all need to look at this. It retains the original shape of the rubber. When vulcanization is performed on rubber, the rubber shrinks while retaining... Oh, shrink me, Lord! Shrink me where there's nothing left of me. Sure, my physical being is going to be here. Sure, my outside is going to stay here. I hope it gets a little skinnier when we get on Weight Watchers. But anyway, that has nothing to do with our salvation. When vulcanization is performed on the rubber shrinks while retaining its original shape. Vulcanization essentially scales down rubber to a smaller size. All without deforming or altering its shape. In addition to altering its size while retaining its shape, vulcanization also protects rubber from future deformation. Praise God! As it shrinks, rubber hardens and becomes less vulnerable to deformation. It may still deform when exposed to enough stress, but vulcanized rubber won't deform as easily as conventional non-vulcanized rubber. That's why Brother Brown used that word.
Right.
We were non-vulcanized rubber. Now we are vulcanized rubber.
Right.
Rubber also becomes harder when vulcanized, which subsequently increases its strength and reduces the risk of physical damage. Well, I thought y'all might shout about that, but that's all right. Y'all don't shout about it at all, okay? Now, I want you to read this right here. Unlike with thermoplastic, that old junk plastic, chemical processes, the effects of vulcanization are permanent. After a rubber object, praise God, after a rubber object or material has been vulcanized, it can't be reversed. You vulcanize, you put these things inside of you, it can't be reversed. You and him become so one till Satan can't pull you apart. Don't you want to be that way? Stand to your feet. God bless. Don't you want to be that way? I'm tired of the devil beating on me, deforming my revelation, deforming me in my walk with God. But you know what vulcanization is? It's not an easy process. You got to heat it to almost 300 degrees. And pretty much almost melt. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And pretty much melt the material. You put it together, and then you cool it off. And you can't tell one from the other. But Brother Brown said, now you can't take rubber and wood, or rubber and metal. Why? Because they're not of the same chemical substance. But if you're a child of God, come on, somebody. If you're a child of God and you got God and he heats you up a little bit and he vulcanizes these virtues in you, Sister Regina, there's no going back. There's no reversing God. There's no reversing vulcanization. You can't unvulcanize that rubber. It becomes one piece and it becomes, look, it becomes harder and stronger. Harder and stronger. That's why Brother Branham used that word, vulcanization. It's because he knew what he was talking about, because back when we did have to vulcanize, we had to take patches and put patches on, rubber patches on a hole in a tire, right? For a lot of you that are older. And what did you do? You heated it. And it just melted into each other, and it was so much that it was stronger than what was before. Let's be stronger than what we were before. Let's be, we're all rubber. Come on. We're all rubber. We're all human. But God's God. And if you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul, if God's rubber, you're rubber. His kind of rubber. So let him bring the heat. Let him bring the heat and melt me into him. I don't want to be mean no more. Melt me into him to where when you see rubber, if that's God, you see me. If you see me, you see the God. You see that rubber. There's not a differentiation. There's not a two-ness. It all becomes one. And you can't tell the difference. Let's bow our heads just for a second. I know we've been long a little bit, but I believe you brought out some pretty good points today. And I sure appreciate you sitting and listening. But I want to, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody here wants to be vulcanized, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to be vulcanized, just lift your hand up and say, God, please, vulcanize me. From this day forward, Lord, make me different. But make me you. Lord, that's just an analogy that man has of vulcanization, but I believe you put it on a prophet's mind to tell the people that we don't need to just be like you, we need to be you. We don't need to be like rubber, we need to be that rubber. By vulcanization, Lord, I lift my hands, please. By the power of the Holy Ghost, let the fire of God fall in this building, Lord. And let it burn out every sin and every problem, Lord. All the situations that we're going through, all the sickness. The ones, Lord, on the internet that's watching in, I pray, Lord, that they would lift their hands. And, Lord, they would get something from you, Father, that you would drop down in the quietness. And, Lord, you can do more in quiet than man can do with a lot of noise. And, Father, I pray that you would burn us together, bind us together with you, Lord. And, Lord, take all these doubts and fears away, Lord. Take all these sicknesses, Lord. People that are dilatory, that are backslid, Lord. I pray that you would just fill them with the Holy Ghost more and more. Just vulcanize us all together in you, Lord. Lord, just let the fire, 300 degrees, that's hot. But, Lord, the fire of God is much hotter than that. It'll burn a sinner's soul completely out and put the new birth inside. Lord, I pray that that'll happen today. Lord, we pour our heart out to you, Lord, that you'll save our children, that you'll save our grandchildren, that you'll save our husbands and wives. And Lord, like I said before, backsliders, whatever, Lord, just bring them back into the fold, Father. Lord, we ask these things, Lord. These are your people. This is all we got. We got a building, we've got a human vessel, and we've got you. Lord, may our life be you. And may the things that we ask for be the right things to ask for. Lord, as we sing this song, Lord, I pray that you would come to us and be with us, Lord. And just use us from this day forward, from the front to the back. Use the musicians, use the elders. Use the young kids, use the young adults, use the older people, use everyone, ministers and all of us. Lord, use us more than you've ever used us before. Lord, send the fire and let it vulcanize us more to you, Lord. Don't let something get in the way. Lord, let us get out of the way and let us shrink so that you can be one and you can be magnified. You can be the preeminent one in our life. The prophet of God tells us, and we're not going to get anywhere unless we give you preeminence. Lord, I pray that we'll have that more and more. And Lord, that we'll be what you want us to be. And you not be sad with us. And Lord, you'll be glad. You'll be that tutor that goes back to the Father and says, oh, they're doing what you ask them to do. They're growing in grace and knowledge. They're not drinking milk now. They're eating meat. They're growing. They're getting stronger. Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we speak to you in song.
Carol ever. tis Jesus' blessing.
Sing it to him.
Your sins are all forgiven.
Oh, do you believe that? You believe you got a little washed out today, that you got a little bit closer to God?
Go on your way in peace to heaven, and wear a crown with.
Sing it to him.
Jesus, sweet.
Standing here. Lord, we know about office work and having to rub shoulders with the world. But Lord, you said you would give us peace. You would give us shelter. You would give us, Lord, something that no one ever has, and that's, Lord, you. And Lord, as you emanate through this building, Lord, I pray that even if a sinner were to raise his voice, that you would condemn him, Lord, and that you would bring it with the sweetness of God down to a low voice and be able to talk as human beings and get things done. I know we have to work. We have to do these things. But Lord, I pray that it'll be done in sweetness, that it'll be done in sincerity, and Lord, that our sister will come back with a report that things have changed in that office. Lord, you control spirits. And Lord, I pray that you control those that are in this building, Father. Give our sister peace, Lord, in the work that she does, Father. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just believe it. Okay?
Sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, 'tis Jesus' blessed cheek.
Get that thing out of you, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, our sister stands here today, Lord. I believe with a sincerity, Lord, that she wants to get rid of all this junk that she has in her life, Lord. Now, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would touch our sister, Lord, with the fire, the coals that came off of the altar, Lord. That the angels brought to Isaiah and the different ones, Lord, and placed those coals on her lips. Oh, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. But, Lord, you touched him. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you touch our sister, Lord. And that you touch her, Lord, and in her life and in all the things, even the thoughts in her mind, Lord, will be turned towards you, Lord. And those things that are bothering her will not bother her anymore, Lord. Burn her with fire, Lord, from the Holy Ghost, Lord. Just give her a refilling, Father. Just bless her now, Lord. Take care of her, Lord, in her life, Father. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay? Let's sing it. Let's sing it again.
Sweetest note in Sarah's song. Sweet.
Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, your Father, my Father, rubber to rubber, let's vulcanize with him. Because you know what? When you vulcanize, there's nothing in between, because it all becomes one. Our problem is we let that little air of doubt or a little bit of, you know, when we had to vulcanize, if you'll remember, well, you had to clean that piece of rubber off. If it was any little piece, speck of dirt, it wouldn't vulcanize because you got a different substance between. But I love that song, Nothing Between My Soul and My Savior. Nothing. When you get that thing cleaned off, like today, we got it cleaned off. Now let God, 300 degrees, 3,000 degrees, let him burn that out of us and then vulcanize us right together. And let us be the people that we're supposed to be. Walk with God. Don't walk with the devil. Walk with God in your life. Give him first preeminence. And I'll promise you he'll have to come on the scene, because you have to do what his word says. He can't do something different than what he promised. He can't. You just got to hold on. When we get to temperance, when we get to patience, you got to hold on. Hold on. Patience with God first, Mom. No. Nope. Nope. Anything between those two pieces of rubber wouldn't work. Right. See, you couldn't put, like, you couldn't fill the tube full of air. Number one, it had a hole in it. But number two, it was deformed, and you had to get all the air out. Somebody say amen. You got to get sanctified. You got to get cleaned and set aside for service, then vulcanize and put you in service. Then there's nothing. Man, our dad, he used to take that, he'd take sandpaper and all kind of stuff, and he'd do that, and he'd rub it off, and he'd take that patch, and he'd take the glue then, back then. You can't buy that now because, well, they were sniffing it. But the glue, sorry, they were. The chemical in that glue would catch on fire. So you'd rub that glue, right, Donnie? You'd put that glue on there, and then you'd take a match, and you hit that, but he'd go, whoop, and it burned just a pretty blue flame. It just burned till it got hot. Then you took the patch, and you did the same thing, and then you went, and you just held it there for a little while. You didn't go ahead, you didn't pump the tire up right then. You waited till it every bit got vulcanized to where no air could get out, to where Satan can't get in and God can't get out. And that patch was stronger, because you really would never have a hole there ever again. You might have a hole in the original rubber tire somewhere else, but that's double. That's two pieces of rubber together, right, brother? So you and I may get a hole every once in a while somewhere else. But guess what? Go back through that vulcanization process and let the fire of God burn that thing out of you. You love the Lord? Man, I love God more and more every day, because I look and you see more of him somewhere in what you do. And we have faults and failures. We have junk that we fall off the wagon every once in a while, you might say, but not like the world does. But we just kind of get dilatory, and we kind of get to where we don't think about things in God. Same here. But let's always make sure we come back to the place we were. Come back to the place we were. Brother Brown said, told the story about the soldier. He was dying. Older man, he was dying. And the priest run to him and said, what can I do? What can I do? And somebody said, the thought came to the preacher's mind. He said, hurry, son, go back to where you left God. Right. You know what the soldier said? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He had left him as a young kid, but you know what? He found him. He went back to the spot. Come back. Every one of us come back to the spot where we left him. He didn't leave us. We left him. Remember his mama and daddy left him. For 3 days. But where was he? He was in the temple doing what he's supposed to do. They're the ones that lost him. Brother Brown said they lost him at Pentecost. So that's where they lost him at. They lost him at Pentecost. It was the Feast of Pentecost, which is why they were in Jerusalem. And Jesus was there in the temple at 13 years old, confounding the scholars. Why? Because he had knowledge. He had knowledge. And that's the same knowledge. Listen, let this mind be in you. Can we believe that? Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, just like the mind of Christ. That means you got to think like him. Yeah, that's what it says. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. The good, the bad. The human part's going to be the bad. But God's never going to be bad to you. He's going to give you the desire of your heart if you'll ask him. As mom said today, she was looking for some stuff and found it just like that. We were looking for some tables last night, or they were, to put in the office, to put a new printer on, and they didn't have nothing. And all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, mom said, well, you know, ask for big things. So she said, Lord, we need a table. Well, God just rolled about 6 of them out on them. From Goodwill, they rolled them out from the back right there. Richard jumped on them. Kept anybody else from buying them. He just laid across them and said, don't touch this. Leave it. A little temperance. No patience, but a little temperance. So we got them for like $30. So, I mean, we have not because what? We ask not. You say ask for tables? Why not? Why not? Ask for those things. I don't know if well, guess what? Brother Brown said, he said, why ask for little things? He said, ask for big things. Yes. Oh, yeah. They got the tables are here. They're not here, but they're home. But got what it's asked for. So he's a prayer answering God if we'll just ask him. And not ask him amiss, not ask him because of our own self gain. But to help somebody else, you just ask God. Ask God. Just keep asking him. Just keep asking him. Keep asking him. Somewhere it's going to match. When we get all these things out of our life, something's going to fall in place. And I'll promise you, you're going to have your kids. You're going to have your wife. You're going to have your... If you really believe that, you'll have the desire of your heart. You will. I'm not going to promise you that. God did. God promised he'd give you the desire of your heart. Not your wants. I want a new car. But God ain't going to give me one. He'll say, get you a job and go to work twice and you can get you one. But you know what? I need him to give me more revelation. I need more revelation from God. So I'm asking. That's a need that I have. That should be a need. Whatever yours is, put it in the blank. Fill in the blank. Whatever need it is. That's what you, if you need more revelation, tell him. Say, I need more revelation, Lord. I need more. Give me more time to read the Bible. Give me more time to read the Bible. Give me more time to study. Don't give me more time to read the newspaper. Okay? It's what you asked for. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you give us. Thank you for the bride of Jesus Christ that's sitting here today. Father, I pray that you just be with each one. Lord, vulcanize us more to you, Father. And I pray, Lord, the ones that are traveling home, that you'll be with them, Brother Luis and Brother Aaron, that they've done their work and they're on the way back home, Father. And I pray that you touch each one. Be with us, Lord, until Wednesday night. Lord, we pray that Brother Bob will be anointed to bring us the words of eternal life, Father. Just be with each one, Lord. Be with us on the highways and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you. Oh, the shower. Make sure you go to the shower, ladies.